An update from Connecticut on one of the most complicated NIMBY battles anywhere. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is David Fail, who is a master CFI, an airframe and power plant mechanic, and is with the Friends of Sikorsky Airport. We're talking here about Sikorsky Memorial Airport, located in Stratford, Connecticut, but owned by the city of Bridgeport. David is a Gold Seal flight instructor. He was the 1999 National Flight Instructor of the Year. He's with the FAA safety team, and he finds himself perennially in the middle of this interesting controversy. David, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners today.
Oh, glad to be here.
Well, first of all, let me talk about the unique circumstances that this airport faces, because this is one of those cross-jurisdictional nightmares where the city of Bridgeport actually owns the airport. The people of Stratford probably for years have resented the fact that they don't get the taxes they feel they should from that big hunk of property in the middle of their town. Do you have any historical background on how this whole thing happened in the first place, how it wound up that way?
Well, during the war, Second World War, the airport was taken over by the federal government, and they built Corsairs in Stratford at across the street from the airport, and they launched them off the airport. And that was the origins of the airport becoming a fully paved and usable airport. After the war, the airport was offered to Bridgeport for some kind of a sale price. I don't imagine it was very much. It was surplus property, with a caveat that it stay as an airport or the land reverts back to the FAA. That's on the actually on the title to the airport. So that's basically how the city of Bridgeport ended up owning the airport and operating the airport many years ago.
All right. Now, Stratford, in the meanwhile, has gone from being a lot of marshland and sparse settlement to decades later being a densely populated area. Is the FAA kind of giving you guys some support and holding ground?
The FAA is giving us a tremendous amount of support. The area that's the concern in Stratford is an area that is south of the airport on a peninsula known as Lordship. The original settlers out in Lordship were the Russian immigrants who helped Igor Sikorsky when he was developing his airplane business. And it's since grown to several thousand people living in a huge number of homes. The interesting thing is there's only two roads to Lordship, and one of them passes to the west, southwest side of the airport, and the other one passes on the east side of the airport. And so they're a unique community because the airport limits the access to that community.
All right. Now, the highway that's at issue in some of the goings-on at Sikorsky Memorial Airport is, if I understand correctly, a main street in the town of Stratford that runs exactly butted up to the end of the departure end of Runway 6. Is that right?
That's correct. It actually abuts it perfectly. There's only a blast fence between the pavement of the highway and the end of the runway. Back in 1994, an arriving, I think it was a Navajo, had nine people on it, and it landed long, pilot error, overshot the runway, ran into the blast fence. Everybody survived the accident when the airplane hit the blast fence. However, the blast fence ripped open the fuel tanks on the Navajo, and eight out of the nine people were burned to death in that accident. The airplane actually ended up on Main Street, which is also a state road. And when you say it's Main Street, it is Main Street. It is a state road, but it's not in the center of town as you might picture a Main Street. It's an area through some marshlands, and across the street from it is the former Army engine plant where they manufactured Corsairs and then Lycoming manufactured jet engines there.
All right. Now, for as many years as I can find press clippings, there's been a debate going on between Stratford and Bridgeport about the airport. And I wanted to give you a chance to kind of elaborate on the details of the debate here, because there's a lot of less than accurate information there, and we unwittingly may have passed some of it along. So let me ask you about three specific areas involved in the debate about the airport here, and you can straighten me out and make sure all our listeners have it straight on all three points.
Go ahead.
One is the idea that back in the 90s, one by one, the commercial air carriers that had been serving the airport peeled off one by one because they could only fly turboprops in there, and they didn't find that profitable anymore. And I guess the last service in there ended in 1999.
Yeah, that's correct. The airlines, we had at one time three airlines going into Bridgeport, mostly flying the Beech 1900s. Air Wisconsin did fly their four-engine, I think it's a Bach 146, from Bridgeport to Chicago, and that was an incredibly full airplane. Most of the time it left our airport. They dropped the service because United Airlines, Air Wisconsin aligned themselves with United Airlines, and United Airlines basically said, we don't want you competing with us on our New York to Chicago run. And they said, well, we don't. We fly into Bridgeport. And they said, that's the New York run to us. So they dropped out for that reason. The other airlines dropped out partly because they were switching to jet aircraft from turboprops, and we don't have a long enough runway to service the regional jets, partly because the government was dropping the subsidies that they gave for enplanements, so that the airlines no longer found it profitable to fly out of Bridgeport. New Haven, which is about 17 miles to the east of us, has a jet service to, I think, Baltimore and Washington, but we don't have any airline service, and we're not looking to put airline service back in our airport. We're happy with it being a corporate airport, a general aviation airport, and that's what it's designed for. It's a reliever airport in that regard.
All right, now that's where one of the misunderstandings, I think, comes from, because there's some old documentation, some old press clippings that show up if you do an internet search that says that at one point Bridgeport wanted to extend the runways to possibly allow the return of commercial aviation, but that you're saying that's bogus.
That certainly has been bogus since sometime in the late 1990s. It has not been on the drawing board. It was shortly after the airlines left that when it became obvious that without longer runways, we wouldn't have airline service. And it also became apparent that we don't have the demographics for airline service. And we're not looking at lengthening any runways.
All right. Now, this is where the debate becomes kind of cloudy, because terminology and semantics comes into play when you're dealing with NIMBYs. They'll often seize on anything they can. There is an FAA mandate at this point to if the runway is going to be overhauled with federal funding, which apparently, looking at the description of the runway condition, it pretty much needs to be, that it's going to be done to current standards, which includes a 300-foot engineered materials arresting area put at the ends of the runway. And that's being painted by the NIMBYs as a runway extension.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what's happening with that process. Actually, that the mandate to rebuild the runway and bring it up to the current code is a congressional mandate, not just an FAA mandate, and it requires a 1,000-foot safety area where practical. It's not practical at our airport to put a 1,000-foot safety area on the departure end of runway 6. So they've finally come up with this EMAS, engineered material arresting system. That's something that's come into use in the last 10 years or so, and it's been decided that 300 feet of that will be sufficient to stop the type of aircraft that use our airport. The largest aircraft that we're designed for is the Gulfstream 4.
All right, now when we come back from the break, I want to talk about how things have turned on this difference in semantics, because I think this is a good lesson for anybody else who might find themselves in a similar situation defending a local airport. My guest is David Fail of the Friends of Sikorsky Airport in Connecticut. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Platt. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option, from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed, comes standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here, along with David Fail, who is a CFI, an AMP mechanic, and more importantly, he's with the Friends of Sikorsky Airport in Connecticut. This is an airport that's owned by the city of Bridgeport, but lies completely within the town of Stratford, and it has its share of political intrigue going on here. All right, David, you've kind of laid the groundwork for the story for us here. You've got an airport. Runway 624 is in rough shape. It's going to be redone. And incidentally, for those NIMBYs worried about bigger, faster, louder planes coming in, it's going to be redone 50 feet narrower than it is now. How has that been dictated?
When the FAA is going to reconstruct a runway, they have to bring it up to current standards. Since we operate the largest aircraft that's standard out of our airport is the Gulfstream 4, the Gulfstream 4 operates off a 100-foot wide runway. So therefore, they're going to take the old runways that were made at 150 feet wide and narrow them down to 100 feet when the project is completed. It's good for everybody because we have less pavement down there. Maybe we have more grassland, and even the environmentalists should appreciate that.
Okay, now, one of the things that could be facilitating this fairly, I guess, painlessly, you would think, is that fact that that old Army plant is still across the street and there is land available. The Army doesn't need it anymore. But there's land available to move this state road that abuts the end of runway 6, move it out 300 feet, I suppose, to make room for the arresting surface. How is that running into problems? Because if I understand, the road would be in a better road for vehicle traffic than it is now as well.
Well, we're back to the same issue of the not in my backyard people from Lordship and parts of Stratford. The Army engine plant has put this plant up for sale. It's about 67 acres with several buildings. There is some hazardous materials around on it, but not near the runway or the EMAS safety area. If we move the road to put the EMAS in, it's actually 1.07 acres of the corner of their parking lot would be needed to reroute the road. That rerouting would be a designed road that would no longer flood as it does now several times a year when we have storms and high tides, because it is right on the coast of Connecticut. So the people of Lordship would gain a road that never flooded. They also would eliminate a dangerous curve that's at one part of that road where it goes by the airport. So it's a win-win for Stratford. The issue with the Army engine plant is that the Army's selling it. Originally, they had granted a public benefit transfer of property to the airport for this, and you probably are aware that when government property becomes surplus, the first use of that government property is, of course, another governmental agency. Somehow along the line, the Army reneged on that transfer of that public benefit property to the airport. We're not quite exactly sure where and how, but something happened there, and the Army began ignoring the airport and the FAA's pleas to actually use that 1.07 acres. I know the FAA has written them and followed up and has virtually heard nothing back from the airport, from the Army. They've been totally ignored by the Army until they got to the point where the property was going to be, it was sold, and the closing was going to take place on March 27th. Just before that date, some lawsuits were filed to block the Army from selling the property until they met some requirements, one of them being the public benefit transfer of that just over an acre of property. That case, it was the second lawsuit that was filed on the Army engine plant property, was by the city of Bridgeport in federal court.
Okay, now I'm struggling here. What could possible sequences of events be from this point out? It would seem to me that if the FAA is really supportive of this, then whoever does buy that property could be under a constant cloud that the FAA will at some point use eminent domain to take at least part of it to go through with this purpose for it.
Well, the sale has been halted until the federal court rules on the public benefit transfer of that just over an acre of property. So it'll be up to a federal judge to decide that the property should go, or the 1 acre of property should go to the airport before the buyer gets the property. Now, the buyer is an organization or a company called Hollywood East. They're planning to put movie studios in that area and become literally Hollywood East. They certainly need the airport to support bringing actors and actresses in to their Hollywood East studios. So I'm sure that they're in favor of the airport being a viable airport.
All right, you're not talking about movie theaters. You're talking about an actual place where they shoot movies.
Movie studios, sound stages, yes. Movies, actually going to be making movies. Connecticut's a very attractive state for movie making. They have some very attractive tax laws and things. So quite a number of movies are made in Connecticut. This would just be an extension of that industry.
Okay, we know you're going to obviously be busy for a while yet answering newspaper editorials put in by NIMBYs and all that kind of thing, but where do you expect this thing to go? What sequence do you expect to play out?
I think at this point, now that it's in federal court, we're in probably the best shape we've been in the 15 years that we've tried to make this happen. In New Haven, back in the fall, a federal judge ruled that safety trumps local zoning. And in New Haven, they have a similar situation where they're having to move a road for a runway safety area. We're very similar to that. And I kind of think that a federal judge is going to say, yes, we need to give this acre plus of Army property to the airport so they can move the roads, they can put in the safety areas, which again are mandated by Congress.
Well, you're going to wind up being a consultant on this deal before it's over. I got to ask you, between your work for the Friends of Sikorsky, you're obviously an active CFI. What do you do in your spare time?
I also fly a search and rescue helicopter for our town here. We're called at all times of the day and night for either search and rescue or police support work. And it's an enjoyable life being able to fly when you're tied up in aviation. I'd much rather be flying than be campaigning to get this project through, but we have to get this project through.
Well, hopefully you'll have some more time to do just the flying part here pretty soon. If someone is listening in the area and has not been aware of the controversy and wants to get involved with the Friends of Sikorsky, how should they best get in contact with you?
Well, the best way would be by email, which is fosaemail@aol.com. So it's Friends of Sikorsky Airport email. So it's FOSA again, email@aol.com. There's also a website which will link you there, which is called SikorskyMemorialAirport.com.
All right. Well, David, keep up the good fight. And to whatever extent our reporting helped to perpetuate any of these misunderstandings, let me apologize on our behalf because I wrote that story. And we'll make sure that we get the word out so people know what is going on, and continued success.
We're looking forward to all the help we can get, and we thank you very much for getting involved with it.
My guest has been Master CFI David Fail of the Friends of Sikorsky Airport, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.